Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, that's right. Anybody can call into this show, whether you're in Roundup, whether you're in Belgrade, or whether you're a United States senator calling in from our nation's capital. In fact, next up on the phone lines, we've got U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. Senator Sheehy, hey, great to have you on the show this morning to sound off. I think you saw the big news, the Trende Aragua-related arrest here in Montana. So thanks for not only sharing that story, but for keeping the pedal down to the metal in making sure we get these illegal aliens out of this country.
It's a reminder, Aaron, that every state is a border state, and I think all Americans have learned that here in the last 4 years. As the previous administration let tens of millions of immigrants into this country unfettered. And we have to remember that although we're all worried about the southern border, Montana has the longest Canadian border of any state in the country. So we have to be worried about that as well. And as we've just been reminded, bad actors will use that border. They'll use any border to come into our communities, bring drugs and crime into our communities, and ultimately, tear apart the very fabric of our families and our communities. So, super proud of our Border Patrol agents for doing their job. As a lot of folks may not really understand, the northern border is very, very undermanned. Of course, the southern border is our top priority, as it should be. But a lot of the northern border agents have had to surge to the southern border to help with the processing and enforcement of the southern border. And then a lot of them up north have had to come off the line and do processing of a lot of these immigrants coming across the border, administrative tasks to process these people. So our northern border force has been undermanned for years, and we're hoping to get that fixed here soon. But obviously, as we can see, they're still doing a great job, and we're proud of them for the work they're doing.
Yeah, there was you shared the story that we reported over the weekend where you had this Trende Aragua-related arrest where a U.S. citizen was arrested for basically aiding in the smuggling of three Trende Aragua illegal aliens into this country. And then there was another report, Border Patrol picked up an illegal alien out of the Whitefish sector, the Whitefish station in the Spokane sector. This guy had been busted for drunk driving in Bozeman last year, and what it sounds like is the Biden administration put the guy, the illegal alien with a rap sheet, back out on the streets of Bozeman, Montana. But now he's arrested thanks to Border Patrol under Trump.
Yeah, I mean, thank God they've apprehended him now, Aaron, but exactly right. I mean, we have violent criminals who were kicked out of their own countries for murder, for rape, for violent crimes. They were either sent here intentionally to get out of their home countries or they came here on their own. And then, of course, what we're seeing is now we have these radical judges who are trying to injunct the will of the American people. The American people spoke clearly on November 5th. They want a secure border. They want these people gone. And now you have these random judges all over the country filing these injunctions against the administration, saying it's unconstitutional for them to fly 200 or 300 violent criminals out of America back to either their home countries or to prison in El Salvador. Yet these same judges had nothing to say when Joe Biden was using taxpayer money to fly in tens of millions of illegal immigrants into the interior of the country. Where were these judges when that was happening? They were nowhere to be found, Aaron.
That's right. And now they're trying to slow walk the exfil of these invasions that they were part of allowing into this country. All right. Great comments from Senator Sheehy. Stand by. He'll be back right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lingering clouds and a few isolated showers around early today, along with some breaks of sun later in the day as well. High temperature readings will stay at around 60 to 65. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, lows from the mid-30s to around 40 degrees. And then on Wednesday with some sunshine, highs from the mid-60s in Bozeman to the mid-70s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This is House Call for Health. Two things in life you can crave, sleeping and eating, may work together against you if you don't counteract them. This according to experts at the Cleveland Clinic, who say if you're not getting all of the rest you need at night, you may end up eating more. They say sleep regulates the release of hormones, and some of those are appetite hormones. When you're deprived of sleep, your appetite hormones can be thrown out of balance, and that may cause you to eat more the next day. and you want more unhealthy food when you're tired. The Cleveland Clinic suggests creating a regular nighttime routine for going to sleep and getting up around the same time each day if possible. They also suggest avoiding late-hour caffeinated beverages or chocolates. And if all of that doesn't help to sleep better at night, or if you think you're eating too much, they also suggest seeing a sleep doctor or your regular physician. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Senator Sheehy's got to run to a meeting here in just a second, so I want to toss it right back to him, and then we'll get to your phone calls as well. But, yeah, Senator Sheehy, the media, the liberal media here in Montana was so biased, so pathetic in the way they covered your campaign last year. And I figured they would have learned. But yet here they go again. They're covering these George Soros-funded fake phony town halls as if they're some legitimate grassroots deal. I mean, it's like, here we go again with the fake news media covering for the Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, all these events were dark money Soros-funded groups that had literally advocated to abolish the police, abolish ICE, defund law enforcement. It's a Marxist organization that pushes radical left-wing ideology. And, of course, they quote-unquote organize these grassroots town halls, which are, you know, obviously outside-funded, internationally-funded things, specifically to resist Trump. All their narrative is built around not fixing America, not securing our communities, not bringing down inflation and passing common-sense policies. It's all built around resist Trump. And they didn't even try to hide it. It says indivisible on every invite they have there, every piece of literature around these events. So, you know, they knew we weren't going to be there because all of us had things going on. You know, our schedule's not dictated by left-wing advocacy groups. And, of course, they were not intended to be a grassroots exchange of ideas. They were intended to be, you know, liberal ambushes. The reality is, last year and a half, as you well know, I was all over the state doing unfiltered, free-for-all town halls. Anyone could show up, standing in bars, VFW halls, rodeos, in the middle of town parks, wherever it was, and just talking to Montanans. And that's why we won by so much against a three-term incumbent that spent a year and a half talking to thousands and thousands of Montanans directly, unfiltered, and they saw that and respected that. These are not authentic town halls. These are fake liberal ambushes designed to push a narrative that's anti-Trump, and guess what? Montana likes Trump. They love what he's doing, and they want more of him.
Yeah, I think it just makes them look even more silly when they bring their little Trump derangement syndrome seminar circuses to town. Senator Sheehy, I know you got to run to a meeting. Thanks so much for taking some time out to chat with our listeners this morning here. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Aaron. Keep up the great work.
All right, likewise. Yeah, phone lines are open for you now as well, 406-294-0970. Yeah, it was kind of fun. You know, our producer, Caden, was chatting with Senator Sheehy's team, and they were like, hey, the senator wants to call in this morning. And it's like, okay, yeah, have him call in. But, you know, hey, we've got a break, and then we wrap it this time. And we're like, hey, it's always good when we get the elected officials on, you know, for the full hour or extended a period of time. To take phone calls and more, but also it's kind of fun just hearing from a senator, just like we get to hear from you with a quick call in, you know, a quick 2 minute, 3 minute or more conversation or whatever. So yeah, that worked out well. Still got about the good couple of topics in there with the senator. What do you want to talk about? You can give us a call as well, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. If you want to jump in on the conversation that way. All right. Call in today because tomorrow I'm going to be in Great Falls for the MACRS convention, the Montana Association of County Road Supervisors. Actually, I'll be there later today.
I'll be one of the keynote speakers at their convention here later this afternoon. So looking forward to seeing all the great folks that build and maintain our massive road infrastructure here in Montana. It's a great group of people, so that's where I will be. I got a message just a few minutes ago on the Montana Talks app talking about the state legislature. Morgan in Helena says the Montana House of Representatives passed House Bill 275, which are basically driver privilege cards dealing with illegal aliens. And so anyway, I'll have to refresh my conversation on House Bill 275 and what that bill would do and would not do. But Morgan and Helena says that the House has passed House Bill 275. So interesting one there. All right, let's see. Greg Jarrett, yeah. Senator Sheehy mentioned this story, these crazy left-wing judges that had no problem with Joe Biden and John Tester allowing this invasion, this all-out invasion of our country by these criminal illegal aliens. Oh, but now they want to block the President of the United States from deporting these criminal illegal aliens using the Alien Enemies Act. Greg Jarrett is a Fox News legal analyst, and he basically points out how this left-wing district judge, Boasberg, is totally ignoring Supreme Court precedent. He is the one who is undermining the rule of law here.
Well, the district court judge, Brian, his name is Boasberg, he set a court hearing for tomorrow, but the higher appellate court has a hearing today to decide whether to toss out the judge's temporary restraining order on these deportations. So for now, the appellate court has jurisdiction, but it really depends on what they do today. What's so troubling, I think, about Boasberg's restraining order is that he is defying the Supreme Court, which reviewed Harry Truman's use of the Alien Enemies Act after World War II ended. And the high court said that not only is the act constitutional under the law of the land, it is not subject to judicial review by any judge. So when a president invokes it, no judge, no court can ever intervene, not even the Supreme Court, because Congress gave the president the exclusive power that is purely political to make decisions on national security and foreign policy. Well, Boasberg is duty-bound, Brian, as a lower court judge, to follow the ruling of the highest court, the Supreme Court, and butt out. And yet, he is brazenly ignoring the Supreme Court precedent.
All right, yeah, there you go. Great insight from Greg Jarrett, who is on Fox News with Brian Kilmeade. All right, we'll get to your phone calls and more after the Farm and Ranch Report.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Mobility is a driving force in the economy as old as America. Moving for better land, more political freedom, or seeking fortune was embedded deeply into our DNA from the beginning of the country. But mobility today is different because of technology and because of differences in policies of different states. A new study that examined the extensive data available on where people work and where they live has made some interesting findings. Compared to 2019, workers are living further away from their workplaces, an average 26 miles away compared to 15 miles before the pandemic. A significant fraction of those hired after March 2020 commuted more than 50 miles, and the higher the pay, the longer the commute, particularly in finance, information, and professional services jobs. The study also found that many workers who stayed with the same employer relocated to different states, which tend to be states with lower top tax rates and cheaper housing. Those relocations are more prevalent for higher earners. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox Rocks.
Michelle Pulino.
She's beautiful.
Miley Cyrus announced a new album, Something Beautiful, arrives May 30th, giving fans 13 new tracks to explore all summer long. Cyrus unveiled the album cover on Instagram Monday with a close-up of the singer in the 1997 Crystal Thierry Mugler headpiece, according to Cyrus. The artwork is a striking nod to the album's bold aesthetic and visual storytelling. The announcement follows a week of teasers featuring black and white posters displaying her silhouettes in the iconic Mugler design, which also became her social media profile image. Something Beautiful is Cyrus's first album since her 2023 hit Endless Summer Vacation, which peaked at number 3 on the Billboard 200. Guns N' Roses drummer Frank Ferrer has exited the band after a nearly 19-year run. longtime Duff McKagan collaborator Isaac Carpenter will fill the drum stool when the group returns to the live stage for an international tour beginning May 1st. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
President Trump has signed an executive order to increase domestic production of critical minerals, including potash. The president directed federal agencies to complete lists of pending mineral projects and expedite their review in coordination with the National Emergency Dominance Council led by Interior Secretary Doug Burgum. The president also directed Burgum to prioritize critical mineral production on federal lands over other activities. The Interior Secretary can determine whether other minerals such as coal are covered by the order. A White House official told reporters that Trump would utilize the Defense Production Act to increase mineral production. President Joe Biden also used the DPA to boost the nation's critical mineral output in 2022. The U.S. Geological Survey says America imported 91% of its potash in 2023. The U.S. has almost doubled egg imports from Brazil in considering relaxing regulations for eggs laid by chickens raised for meat. The move comes as the Trump administration is trying to lower record high egg prices caused by avian influenza. The administration is also pushing for more imports from countries like Turkey and South Korea, which usually send few eggs to the U.S. and has asked the EU to send more eggs. Now, the Brazilian or broiler chicken eggs will make it to the grocery store, but they could be used in more processed foods like cake mixes, ice cream, or salad dressing, freeing up more fresh eggs for American shoppers. I'm Wayne Nordlund.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, just pathetic reporting, so-called reporting. This isn't reporting from these TV stations here in Montana. It's cheerleading. It's cheerleading for the far left. It's cheerleading for the Democrat Party. It's cheerleading for these Trump derangement syndrome seminars. Why don't these TV stations, with report after report, another town hall meeting criticizing the Republicans? That's not a town hall meeting. Give me a break. And why don't you tell us who's funding these organizations? Who's funding these phony left-wing groups that you guys love to give free publicity to? You guys know as well as I do, if a bunch of Republicans put together a big event and they called it a town hall meeting and they invited the Democrats to show up and the Democrats refused to show up, like John Tester refused to take your phone calls on shows like this, would the media even cover the story? Would the Billings Gazette even cover the story? Would KTVQ television, which used to have a really good reputation but now is just a straight-up arm of the Democrat Party, would they even cover it? Probably not. And if they did, they'd be like, oh, this is funded by the Koch brothers, or this is funded by blah, 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 or this is just Republicans having a rally. But the far left Democrats do it, and you see the cheerleading from the liberal mob media. So I had Grok, the AI platform, pull together just some information here, and it's backed by several different posts on X, 15 different news stories, including a report by the New York Times. Who is funding the Indivisible Project? You know, you've got Indivisible Bozeman and an indivisible group in Billings that was hosting these fake, phony, so-called town hall meetings that the liberal media just slobbered over. It's embarrassing. By the way, I was talking with some friends yesterday. They love it. They say, keep doing it, Democrats. Keep hosting your Trump derangement syndrome seminars because you guys look absolutely silly. You guys look nuts. It's a parade of crazy. And so liberal mob media, keep giving these people all the attention in the world. They look nuts, and you're undermining your own credibility even further. So who funds these indivisible organizations at the national level? The indivisible group hosting anti-Trump town halls in Montana is likely, this is from Grok, is likely a local chapter of the broader Indivisible movement, a progressive grassroots organization that emerged in the United States
following Donald Trump's 2016 election victory. Specifically, groups like Indivisible Bozeman and Indivisible Montana have been active in Montana, organizing events such as protests and town halls to oppose Trump administration policies, just like the one in Bozeman just about, 4 days ago. Anyway, some interesting background on the Indivisible movement. I won't get into all that because I want to get to some phone calls here as well. But basically, you've got, it's a left-wing dark money group funded by George Soros and a whole bunch of other left-wing wackos who hate this country, who want to transform this country into something else. And they're funding all these local left-wing wackos and likely bringing them in from elsewhere to cause problems here in Montana. Prominent funding sources, this was what was according to the New York Times, prominent funding sources linked to Indivisible include George Soros and his Open Society Foundations. The New York Times has reported that Indivisible's growth was aided by donors tied to the Democracy Alliance, a network of liberal funders including Soros, as well as individuals like tech entrepreneur Reid Hoffman, San Francisco billionaire Herbert Sandler, New York heiress Patricia Bowman, and oil heiress Leah Hunt Hendricks. The Tides Foundation is also noted as a partner for another one of their arms here. So it's not that hard to pull up this information. It's not that hard to ask a question. Where are these groups that are funding, that are doing these fake, phony, so-called town halls here in Montana getting their money from? It's not that hard to ask that question. So why does the liberal mob media at these TV stations, I get it, you know, a lot of entry-level reporters, you don't get paid very much. This is your first job, and you're just trying to check the box so you can get the hell out of here as fast as you possibly can and move on to your next job, or you're an entrenched Democrat propaganda activist. But all you have to do is say, hey, how is this group getting its funding? Here's what we know about these other groups across the country. So why would these groups be any different? But see, the liberal mob media doesn't want to ask that question, because just like we saw over a year of their fake phony coverage propping up flip-flop flat-top John Tester and doing everything they could to try to tear down Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, the people of Montana rejected their propaganda, which is why he's now Senator Sheehy. And yet here they go, doubling down with support for the transgender agenda, with support for the open borders. Into the phone lines here, Nancy in Roundup. Sorry for the... Oh, she's not there. All right, Nancy in Roundup was wanting to talk about George Soros, which, of course, that's why I wanted to give you a little bit of background on this Indivisible group that George Soros is funding here. Okay, so since I got a couple of more minutes here... Oh, nope, Nancy is back. All right, here we go. All right, Nancy, yeah, what did you want to say about George Soros, the Indivisible movement, these fake phony town halls in Montana? So obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, we got disconnected again some way. But anyway, I'm very proud of Senator Tim Sheehy and all our elected officials. I mean, they're doing a fabulous job, not only for our state, but for our country. But George Soros has been a mystery to me ever since my youth, you know, when I was a teenager. I don't understand how one man who really doesn't have all the wealth in the world can have so much power and get away with it for so long, including, you know, there's a lot of Jewish organizations of Holocaust survivors that go after these SS Nazi guards, prison guards and things like that. Every now and then they catch one down in South America, and they might be in their 80s or in their 90s, and they still make them go to prison. But yet George Soros, nobody seems to go after him, and that's a mystery to me. That's going to have to be, somebody's going to have to explain this to me, why this guy gets away with all this stuff. I mean, the guy is a criminal. Why hasn't somebody in the United States, and I brought this up to President Trump in an email, to go after him, why don't you freeze his assets, confiscate his property, put a gag order on the guy, and also that one son of his eldest son. He's got five kids. Alexander's the oldest one. I don't understand why people don't gang up on this George Soros. Who the hell is he?
He is the Democrat Party. This foreign operative, this foreign financier, he is
the Great Reset. He is the World Economic Forum. I mean, he is the guy who is undermining and destabilizing Europe. He is the guy who is a central figure behind undermining and destabilizing the United States of America. But here's what else I think this USAID funding has exposed in particular. I listened to the full Sean Ryan podcast with Mike Benz, and it was crazy. Definitely must listen to audio. Sean Ryan, I don't even think hardly said a word on that podcast. He just let Benz talk for about 2 hours, and it was crazy. But what it exposed is that George Soros and Hans-Jörg Wyss and all these guys, they provide the seed money. But then you and I pay for the rest of these left-wing groups and the NGOs that were funding the illegal alien invasion in our country. Soros and all these guys, they provide the seed money, and then the Democrats were using our taxpayer dollars to fund all their buddies, to fund all these NGOs, and to fund their left-wing activist groups. That's why these left-wing activist groups are pulling every stunt they can right now, because they don't want their funding source to dry up, which is you and me and the rest of us going to work right now to pay for all this garbage.
You know, Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, this is great. Speaking of conversations, this is a conversation I've been wanting to have on the show for quite some time now. Great to have one of our great district judges here in Montana in studio with us, Judge Ashley Harada, District Court Judge in Yellowstone County. Hey, Judge.
You get that all the time,
don't you? The hey, Judge thing.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I can't resist.
I especially like it out in public.
Oh, yeah.
My family.
You could be grocery shopping, and then there's Rodney Dangerfield, you know, two aisles away yelling at you.
Yeah, it's super uncomfortable.
Well, it's great to see you, and congrats. I saw you just got confirmed by the state Senate to serve on the Judicial Standards Commission as well. But I ran into you, speaking to your family, I ran into you and your family a while back, and, you know, we were talking about all this crazy news with, you know, illegal aliens and Tren de Aragua in Montana and the Mexican drug cartels. And you were telling me that actually you've been seeing a lot of illegal aliens come through your courtroom. And now under the Trump administration, they're actually being deported. Whereas before, who knew what was happening with these illegal aliens? And so I know you can't talk specific cases, but I guess just in general, what have you been seeing?
Well, recently I had a case, and the gentleman was immediately deported after sentencing. He told me he didn't want to go, but I knew that they were taking him to Idaho to then put him on a plane to get him out of here. So that was a new thing for me. I'd never seen that before. During the previous administration. And so I guess I am seeing people being deported more.
Yeah. Well, there was a story yesterday that I shared as well on our Montana Talks website. So it was an illegal alien apprehended by the Whitefish Station for the Border Patrol. So, you know, likely apprehended in northwest Montana. And he was apparently wanted for contempt of court in Bozeman, Montana. And I was like, wait a minute, why was this guy? He already had an extensive rap sheet, apparently. He was previously deported, a known illegal alien. I was like, why was he wanted for contempt of court in Bozeman, Montana? Well, what that tells me is, and this goes back to last September when he was picked up on a DUI, apparently, in Gallatin County. What that tells me is basically the Biden administration at the time, you know, when an illegal alien, it pops up on the radar with, whether it's with a DUI offense or something else, they're like, yeah, put him back out on the streets. I mean, was that actually happening? You could see it even in your own courtroom, or did you just not know what ICE would do with them once they left the courtroom?
Oh, most certainly. We wouldn't have any type of regulation with regard to illegals. They would just be in and out of the system. And so, I mean, I was shocked at that news article about the people in Havre that we just picked up? That was terrifying. I mean, apparently it's all over the state. I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, well, that's what I found when I ran into you. I found what you said so fascinating, because we know there's a bunch of illegal aliens here because we see them on the jail rosters, right? Especially in Gallatin County. I did a search on the jail roster there. And then we see the reports about, you know, the six Trende Aragua operatives that were arrested in Belgrade and Bozeman after some criminal activity there. There was likely a Trende Aragua connection with these drug arrests up in Wolf Point, Montana, up in northeast Montana, and all sorts of craziness going on up there. And so, okay, we know that there's criminal illegal aliens here, but so when you told me that, oh, you're seeing them come through your courtroom and now they're actually being deported, you know they're being deported now that the Trump administration in charge, it's like, okay, so this is happening at a bigger level than what we're even hearing about on a day-to-day basis, which is good news if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, the gentleman I saw, we needed to get him through the system in a hurry because they needed to get him to a facility to be taken out of the United States by, I think, a Tuesday. And so we expedited that case quite a bit to make sure that he could make his flight out of the country.
How frustrating is it to be a judge? You've got just an overload, I imagine, of cases, criminal cases in particular, you know, that we've seen because of drugs and youth gangs and other gangs. And then to know that we don't have the space in our jails and in our prisons, but yet here we have these non-citizens committing crimes that are now competing for space oftentimes as well.
Well, it's super frustrating. I get regular requests for individuals to be released because we don't have space in our holding facility here in town. And I can't, in good conscience, let violent people out. I just can't. It's not something that the people of this community elected me to do. And it's incredibly difficult to manage and balance and weigh all of the factors that go into whether somebody should stay in jail or they should get out and what's the appropriate bond to ensure that they're going to stick around. And you had illegal people on top of that, people who shouldn't be in the country, and it's incredibly maddening.
So from a process standpoint, if a justice of the peace, which I think it was in Bozeman, or just a district judge, if an illegal alien comes before you on whatever the charge may be, I mean, you have to decide the merits of the case, I'm assuming. But when it comes to what happens with that non-citizen, that's left up to the federal government. That's left up to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which, of course, has been a night and day difference, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't have any say over that. I just impose the sentence and wish people well, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But yet, here we see at the federal level where you see these federal district court judges, you know, basically ignoring process, ignoring the law, ignoring what the Supreme Court has previously said because they want to dictate to the commander-in-chief which planes should be flying when and where. It's pretty wild for us non-lawyer types to sit back and watch this stuff.
It's incredibly disturbing when you see judges acting as legislators or trying to make the law as opposed to just follow the law. I mean, I'm a strict constitutionalist, and I don't think the Constitution is living or breathing, and I think I was voted in to follow the law, and it's not my job to create the law.
Yeah, not only voted in, but part of the oath is to the Constitution and upholding that as well, right?
Yeah, and I think some judges forget that because they get an agenda and they want to follow that agenda.
What's your thoughts on just, you know, the state of the judiciary right now kind of in Montana? I know it's tough as judges and lawyers. You have to be so kind of buttoned up with what you say and can't say and everything. But for a lot of people, it's just so frustrating to see what's going on, where we've got judges like you who are just trying to, you know, follow the law, follow the Constitution and carry it out. But then we see these others that they see that black robe as their I get to do whatever I want to robe.
Yeah, it's that's not what we should be doing. We should be following the law and not trying to dictate what the law is. You know, I think activist judges are dangerous, and I think that as far as the state of the judiciary currently, I can speak as to Yellowstone County. We are super overwhelmed. We are there's 8 district court judges, and we need probably 5 more to keep up. But we're doing our best.
Yeah, I think right now, the last I saw, the Chief Justice was testifying in the legislature to try to get three more judges for Yellowstone County and others in other districts across the state as well. What would you say is consuming or has led to such an overwhelming number of cases in particular?
The criminal cases, for sure. Family law is a huge time commitment, as well as dependent neglect cases when children have to be removed from their parents' care. So those are huge, huge time consumers.
Which oftentimes goes back to drugs and crime, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what ends up causing problems then within the family, or it brings in, you know, child protective services, for example. And so it's just kind of,
yes,
it's the one problem that leads to so many others.
Absolutely. It just spirals. Yeah.
Well, Judge Ashley Herrod, it's been great to have you here in studio with us. Anything else you want to tell our listeners across Montana?
No, I just appreciate being here today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Any other insight on, like, so when you have these illegal aliens that come through your courtroom, is somebody from ICE there, or do you just kind of kick them back to the jail and then the jail handles the commo with ICE?
I'm just putting them back in the jail and waiting for somebody to come get them. So, no, I haven't run across any ICE agents yet.
Yeah. Have you learned anything about it? Have you seen any Trende Aragua possible connections come through some of your court cases? I know it's always tough to know who is, who isn't.
You know, I can't identify anything specifically, but I can tell you the gang affiliations are very strong in this community, and that's troubling. Young kids think it's glamorous to be in a gang or to belong to a gang, and it's something that we're seeing a whole lot more of.
They see money, power, prestige, or something. They think it's culturally cool or something to do this.
That's what I think. I think they see it as a way to belong when maybe their home situations aren't great, or they just need a place to be and people to accept them and love them.
Yeah, which raises a good question. You and I were kind of talking about off air, which is, what are our schools doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
In order to combat this youth gang problem. Maybe I'll have to see if we can get the superintendent back on the show to talk about it. Judge Herrod, great to see you. Thanks for dropping in.
Thank you so much.
All right, quick break here on Montana Talks. We've got just a few minutes to round out the hour. If you want to call in and got something to talk about, 294-0970, and then John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the 8 o'clock hour.
I can say to my new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra, hey, find a keto-friendly restaurant nearby and text it to Beth and Steve. And it does, without me lifting a finger, so I can get in more squats anywhere I can. One, two, three.
Will that be cash or credit?
Credit. Four.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that does the heavy lifting so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with select apps, requires Google Gemini account. Results may vary based on input. Check responses for accuracy.
Fox News commentary.
President Trump made a big announcement that's going to be a big deal for America's fighting force. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Simon Owen in London.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. Listen and follow the Fox News hourly update at foxnewspodcasts.com or ask your smart speaker to play Fox News.
President Trump, flanked by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, announced that Boeing is under contract to build the next generation of fighter jet. The jet is aptly titled the F-47. It's a sixth-generation jet and promises to be the most advanced, most capable, most lethal aircraft ever built. Not only will this fighter jet cement the United States and our Air Force as the top guns of the sky, it sends a clear message to our enemies that the days of our military focusing on social experiments are over. The program to develop this F-47, the Next Generation Air Defense Initiative, was paused under the Biden administration. And according to Secretary Hegseth, Biden was prepared to potentially scrap it. Thank goodness we have a new commander-in-chief at the helm that's not only dedicated to peace through strength, ending endless wars, but also making dang sure if the USA must fight, we win. The F-47, just like our 47th president, means business. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lingering clouds and a few isolated showers around early today, along with some breaks of sun later in the day as well. High temperature readings will stay at around 60 to 65. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, lows from the mid-30s to around 40 degrees. And then on Wednesday with some sunshine, highs from the mid-60s in Bozeman to the mid-70s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Hey, last week when there was rumor of cartel activity on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation, there were also rumors about something going on in Havre, Montana. Well, now we know why. U.S. Border Patrol Havre Sector confirming on their Facebook page that a U.S. citizen has been arrested for aiding in the smuggling of three Tren de Aragua illegal alien gang members. That's out of Havre, Montana. We've got...
Visit iZervay.com. That's iZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got some messages in on the Montana Talks app. By the way, did the tinny sound go away there? Yeah, it must have been some feedback with the multiple mic scenario there then. Yeah, it sounds like the echoey thing went away. But, yeah, Caden says it sounded like it went away. Randy's out there listening. Randy, did the echoey thing go away? It's a weird thing with this old studio board that we got here. Sometimes when you have, you know, multiple mics going in studio, it can just have a weird echoey sound to it. Anyway, let's get to your messages that have come in on the Montana Talks app. Ben in Butte sent us a great one earlier. Ben in Butte sent us a message. You know, we were talking about these fake phony town halls that these Soros-funded left-wing groups have been hosting here in Montana. They're really just radical left-wing Democrat campaign rallies. But the liberal Montana media, they just eat it up. They lap it up. You know, they don't want to tell you who's funding these groups. They want to be the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. They want to be the propaganda arm of the Never Trumpers. But Ben in Butte, he says, hey, it would be great if our senators can send any invites they get to the next liberal trap to the rest of us Montanans so we can show up ready to have a discussion with them. The only news clip they will get is liberals with hands over their ears screaming. Chris in Billings said this, Ireland may soon be a caliphate. I hear they love people like Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah, they're saying that, you know, last week, I think last Tuesday, I shared this audio of, because it was right after St. Patrick's Day, I shared the audio of Conor McGregor, the Irish fighter, gave an impromptu speech at the White House talking about all the mass Muslim migration that the liberals in Ireland are allowing into Ireland and how Ireland may not be Irish much longer. Not just because of people like Rosie O'Donnell, but because of mass Muslim migration. And so, yeah, Chris in Billings says Ireland may soon be a caliphate. Okay, speaking of illegal aliens, I mentioned an app message earlier from Morgan in Helena regarding House Bill 275. And 275 basically is a driver privilege card for illegal aliens. Apparently, House Bill 275 explicitly, this is according to Representative Jody Etchart, she says that House Bill 275 explicitly allows illegals to get a driver's privilege car. And based on the message I got here from Representative Etchart, it looks like it's up for third reading in the State House in Helena here later today. And she's going to send me some more info. They've got some amendments trying to fix the bill, but, yeah, basically allows those here illegally to get a driving permit, which just sounds crazy because they're here illegally. They shouldn't get a permit to do anything. The permit to do anything in this country is come here the legal way, come here the right way. And so, but now it would be kind of interesting if we said, hey, if you're a non-citizen, if you're an illegal alien, you can now get a driver permit from the state of Montana. And then when they show up for their permit, say, hey, by the way, here's our buddy Tom Holman from ICE. He'll hand you your permit. You'll have driver's privileges, but you won't be here any longer because we're deporting you right now. But anyway, that's an interesting bill that's seeing some action in the state house here later today. Third reading is basically final reading before the bill passes that respective chamber. All right, John Jackson, the Joker from X in the House, joining us next hour of the show, and hopefully he can stick around for the next hour after that. All right, I got the thumbs up from him. He's going to be joining us for the next 2 hours of Montana Talks here today, taking your phone calls and more. A couple of things I was thinking we could talk about here. Obviously, I want to get his take on these George Soros town halls and the governor of Maine. Have we heard from the governor of Maine after her little White House stunt?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Mobility is a driving force in the economy as old as America. Moving for better land, more political freedom, or seeking fortune was embedded deeply into our DNA from the beginning of the country. But mobility today is different because of technology and because of differences in policies of different states. A new study that examined the extensive data available on where people work and where they live has made some interesting findings. Compared to 2019, workers are living further away from their workplaces, on average 26 miles away compared to 15 miles before the pandemic. A significant fraction of those hired after March 2020 commuted more than 50 miles. And the higher the pay, the longer the commute, particularly in finance, information, and professional services jobs. The study also found that many workers who stayed with the same employer relocated to different states, which tended to be states with lower top tax rates and cheaper housing. Those relocations are more prevalent for higher earners. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.